Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man. So I take my son to the little kid dentist office yesterday, and it's one of those places that caters to the patients from like 3 years old to 17 years old. So if there's anywhere you would expect to hear this bullshit Katy Perry, Ariana Grande music piped in, it would be there, right? Well, guess what they're rocking at the children's dentist office? That's right, 70s classic rock. They got the Billy Joel going, Bob Seger, fucking Styx. Because that's exactly what a nervous 10-year-old wants to hear while he's waiting to have his cavity drilled. Oh, God, fuck me.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I shouldn't be the one delivering this news, but I do like the idea that everyone is now licensed and bonded to just be exacerbated by everything all the time. I don't know why. I think it's, I blame the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I like people will be like, oh, the guy who brought me my food got two packets of hot sauce, and I told him to get zesty, and he just got medium. Ugh, like the kind of stuff that, I don't know, like I remember my parents were depressed, but I never remember them explaining like all the time. I think what's going on, and I'm guilty of it. I think everyone to some degree is guilty of it. See if this resonates with you, Joe Coy. We are so used to accomplishing so much so easily, so quickly now, that anything but perfect, even if it's something that was physically and mathematically impossible just a short period of time ago. Like, you know, I want to go online and I want to find out what every single house in my neighborhood is worth down to the penny. Yeah. I want to know the last time it sold. I want to know how many square feet. I want to know everything. And then I type in something, and if it takes 1 second to boot, I'm like, oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Information that was not knowable in the past. And if you wanted to,
those were physical papers back then.
You had to go to a city building.
You had to go to a city building and talk to somebody.
You have to get bonded and go down to the planners, the building and safety, and have a representative in the room with you while you looked at
something. Scroll through the microfiche.
Yeah, like stuff that was like impossible. And now you do it, and one pop-up ad for a carpet cleaning company is, oh, come on!
What the fuck?
Come on! God. Oh, please, it's 5 seconds before I can...
This again.
And I gotta wait a whole 5 seconds before I can click on get rid of the ad.
And that takes forever, because that's not a real 5 seconds.
Yeah. And then
that's a minute.
Then I can find out the sexual proclivities of everyone who lives within a 17-mile radius of my house through the internet.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm exacerbated.
Yeah,
exactly.
And or anyone who says anything, we get to go nuts on. The... Matt Damon famously says, well, let's not lump in Al Franken with Harvey Weinstein. Oh, come on! Come on!
Pull your head out, Damon!
Yeah, it's like, where's this coming from?
Yeah, born idiot.
I don't know.
Well done.
I don't know that this is helping us, this metronome that we've sped up to so fast that if it doesn't all happen immediately, like right now, we're all just in the worst mood ever.
Like, it's a bad state of mind, state of being to be in.
I literally, look, I'm guilty of grooming the next generation of, oh, come on. So like I got off Norm's speedboat. It was 8 hours of swimming in Emerald Bay.
We'll be there in 45 minutes. Oh, come on!
With my daughter, yeah. Make it 37 minutes. Mm. It's a boat that goes 60 miles an hour. We're literally diving in the ocean off the bow of the boat and swimming out to the buoy and blah, 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 and eating food and drinking champagne and stuff. And when we got back at like 5:30, my daughter's like, I want In-N-Out Burger. And I'm like, we're boycotting them. No, I'm like, no, we got Chinese food and it's at home. And she's like, oh, come on. on. Yeah. And I'm like, we're just going to drive home. We're going to eat the orange chicken. Wow. How about that? Oh, I want in and out.
No,
it's
fair.
Like, day ruined. Like, yeah. Officially day ruined.
Yeah.
Dude, contrast that to what a treat it was to get Chinese food. And we're like,
oh my gosh.
Waiting at home.
For the rest of us.
Oh, my God.
That was just food.
The idea of getting
Chinese.
Take out food.
Oh, give me prawns.
Oh, anything was the greatest thing ever.
There? Are the fortune cookies in the bag?
They got the hot mustard. Oh. They got the sweet
sauce.
How about those crunchy noodles?
Yes.
And then you dip it in the sauce?
Oh. I'd fight my brother over the tempura prawns.
So what was the best is now, oh, come on. Now, keep in mind, I am personally raising two monsters, but I feel like this is kind of across the board.
Yeah, you're upset of their dad.
Everybody, I feel like everybody's now in this mode, yeah, where if we don't get exactly what we want right when we want it.
If we don't get it before we know we want it, it's too late.
Right.
Joe and Adam, did you guys experience when your kids were younger, because I'm experiencing this now with Tessa as an almost two-year-old, it forces you to have more patience and not be in, oh, come on mode, because you can't. Oh, come on, a two-year-old. You know what I mean?
You could try, not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it infuses patience into everything you do with the kid, because you gotta, okay, honey, here's how this works, or here's why we do, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of forces you. It forces you to slow it down. At least for me, anyway. I don't know if you guys felt that.
Yeah, the best thing, I mean, not even just Sonny at the park, and we just take the football with him and run pass routes with him and stuff like that. It just makes everything kind of pulls you away from the computer, away from the devices, away from everything, and just kind of forces you. The more that stuff, you are going to have to do more of these activities, more walks through, you know, wooded trails, and more throwing the ball to the kid, and more taking the dog to the beach, like more of these types of activities, because we're going to go further and further off the deep end and yell, oh, come on, more and more often. And
the sunset's taking forever.
Well, I mean, oh, come on, Orb, fiery Orb that lives in the sky. Come on.
You suck.
Well, look how you pull into a hotel room, and it's got a 32-inch flat panel TV, and you're like, oh, come on. How am I supposed to know what's going on in the world? Like,
how am I supposed to see?
A 13-inch Zenith black and white set that was deeper than it was wide when I was a kid.
On the hotels used to boast HBO or whatever it was.
They did.
Air conditioning.
They used to brag about that.
And now it's like, oh, TV, okay.
Right. Think about just where you are with TV screens.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not sitting in front of something that's 60 inches plus, like, I can't watch the game. I don't know what's going on.
You know how small that is?
Until the team's apart.
You barely see the seams on the ball.
Tiny. Yeah.
It's weird, right?
What are you, poor?
If you want to take life, just go ahead and go by TV size. Because my whole life, you know, as a kid, it was like 13-inch, and at some point, somebody got like a 23-inch.
Oh, that was huge.
Trinitron.
The color. Sony Trinitron 27-inch. That was massive.
And there was
I remember seeing that.
It's like, oh my God, it's a huge TV. And then at some point, there was like a 32, and then there was a 42-inch TV screen. Like 42 inches.
It's like a movie screen.
I can't imagine.
It's a small fortune, but it's worth it. And now, all right, so now where are we at?
82. I just bought it for my stepdad.
If somebody saw a 40,
and you even like them,
2-inch TV, it's like, well, that's too small for your den, isn't it? Yeah, like, that's not big enough for your den anymore. Like, so what's changed? Like, what's changed in this period of time? It's just we
our expectations.
We just move right on to the next thing.
Thought of that,
do you guys
man?
Remember? Did you have any friends? We had one friend that had the big in the '80s, the big TV sort of projection screen with the green, blue, and red light.
Yes.
What was up with that?
My grandparents.
That was huge. That was status.
Yeah. That was status, man.
Yeah. It was a big deal.
Your grandparents had that.
Well, they were retired. In
that's
Tahoe.
Massive.
I remember that. My best friend had that. You couldn't sit on
the three lights,
and you couldn't sit on the side.
No, you can't sit on the side.
More blue or more red on one side. You had to sit dead center.
You had to sit on a saddle right in the middle.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you want to watch for the gas tape, you have to get on your shoulders or get on the saddle behind you and peek around your shoulder.
Like on a motorcycle.
Yeah. My friend Thomas Dent had that at his house, and it was the biggest deal in the world.
Very fancy.
Like, Barbarella is coming to the Z Box on Friday night.
Yeah.
My parents are out of town, and we got the 32-inch projection bulb TV. Like, oh my God, this will be the greatest night ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
good.
Is it sad or generational that my equivalent of that was, dude, NBA Jam on the big screen? That was like the big thing, like the video game or whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's well, not whatever it is, if you do, if you think about what your relationship is with the TV, if somebody told me I had to put a 42-inch flat plasma TV in my office, I'd probably be devastated. But why? Yeah. It's simply because the expectations have moved on. You've immediately grown bored and accustomed to whatever the technology that would have made.
Blown your mind.
You know, stuff that Elvis would have owned.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And paid thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars for are now $300 or $199, and who cares? The poorest people in this culture have three of these sets in their apartment. Elvis would have traded five Cadillacs and the drummer in the Jordanaires. Is that his band? Is the Jordanaires a backup to Elvis's, or is that Buddy Holly? No, he's a Crickets. All right,
Crickets.
The Jordanaires! And now, who cares?
Yeah.
All right. I'm saying this is not a good trajectory to be on, because this means that Joe Coy's stepdad, in about 2.5 years, when it comes to his 82-inch TV.
Too small.
Hey, yeah.
Bubba. It's too small, Bubba.
Yeah.
He's from West Virginia, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Joe Coy, stepdad.
Hey, how are you doing, Bubba?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for inviting me over to watch the game. Well,
welcome to El Casa Fred Harrison.
Oh, hey, Fred. Hey, how are you, buddy? Yeah. Hey, pretty proud of Joe Coy, huh?
Oh, man. He's been really good. I mean, you know, I didn't think he mounted anything.
Yeah.
But he's done good.
He's done good.
He's done his mom good. He did me good.
Didn't have to buy you a grand 82-inch flat panel TV there.
Yeah, a little old now, But
it's been a few years, but 82, you can't argue with 82 inches.
Well, they got a 100-inch now.
Well, yeah, there was a bigger one coming out, but this one is 82. You know, 82, you know, it's 96 inches is 8 feet, you know. So the 100-inch is above 8 feet.
Yeah, Imagine watching a football game on 100 inches.
Well, but you know who needs more than...
It's like watching real. Real football players come out of the ball.
Right, but again, I think it was pretty generous at Joe, even if it was a couple of years ago, to buy an 82-inch. I mean, it's not a
cheap
item.
It'd be nice to get the 100. The 100's out.
Right,
he can afford it.
Well, yeah, he can definitely afford it, but I mean, that's maybe not the appropriate question. You know, this one's perfectly fine. What size TV did you grow up with?
14-inch.
Okay. Well, this is, I'm no mathematician, but this is like 3 times bigger than that. I mean,
yeah, I understand, but it was a different time. Grew up in the mountains of West Virginia, you know, worked at a coal mine.
You had a black and white 14-inch Zenith, and 3 channels.
Yeah.
Now you got ABC, a high def 4K.
CBS, NBC.
Right, I understand. You have 4K now.
ABC, and then there was CBS.
Right. I'm not asking for a review of the networks. Yeah. I'm just saying they're about 3 channels.
Yeah. Now you have
565.
Joe
bought you
the NFL pass.
He bought you NFL pass
as
well.
He got it for my birthday,
and he gets you all the UFC fights.
Everything.
That's pretty generous.
Oh, he's a beautiful man.
Yeah, I think you kind of own him.
Just wish the TV was a little bigger.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I understood. Like
eight more inches.
But when you see him for Thanksgiving.
Like there was this one pass, and then the ball just disappeared out of the screen. I was like, well, fuck. If I had the eight more inches.
Yeah.
you understand what I mean.
I don't run the truck, but I don't think that's how it works exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like if it was your old 14-inch thing, you wouldn't see anything.
I'm pretty sure it was 82 inches. The point is, if I had the extra 100 inches, I would
Joe's
see the
a generous,
arc
he's
of the
a generous man.
He's very generous.
And if you could thank him, you know, this Thanksgiving instead of kind of lobbying for a bigger set.
Let's see what he gets me.
Well, he's not necessarily going to get you anything.
Let's see what he gets. They actually construct a whole wall made out of plasma screen.
Yeah, those are several hundred thousand dollars and have commercial applications.
And I deserve it.
Well, you know, once again, you know, making him top ramen a couple of times a few years ago.
I put an egg in it.
Wow. Well, okay.
I put an egg in it.
Hey, it's your neighbor Dale.
Hey, what's up, Dale?
Hey, what's happening? My 150-inch TV, it just broke. It just went out of commission.
Hey,
I can't watch any film. Can I come over and watch your little TV?
I got a little tiny fucking 82-inch over here on the wall.
We call it the little TV. Son I probably should just call it your TV.
God,
you mind if I watch 150? Your TV? I'll slum it this week if it's okay with you.
Dale, the neighbor. It's got 150-inch TV. You put the egg in the top ramen?
The egg in the top ramen.
So you realize now you're qualified for 100-inch?
That's a no?
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, Dale.
All right, let's go. Was your stepdad cool? Did you get along?
Oh, I mean, he was great.
He took care of you?
West Virginia. He said he joined the Army because he was tired of shitting in the woods. Because he lived in the mountains.
Amen.
I said, yeah. He said every winter they had to dig a hole and shit.
Yeah.
And he said, I couldn't do it anymore. And he joined the military. That's a true fucking story.
Is this like Appalachia?
He's got two Purple Hearts and two Bronze Stars.
By the
stars.
Way, for all of you who listen who are super confused when you ask me a super obvious question and I reply with, does Joe Coy's stepdad shit in the woods? And you look at me like, what the? Now you know why I use that reference.
There you go.
Jesus Christ. It's always like, well, I'm tired of shitting in the woods, Bubba.
Why is he so obsessed with Joe Coy's stepdad?
Now you know. So everyone owes me an apology. All right, clear the lines, Max Pat. I'm sorry we had all those poor people on hold for all that time. I want to thank Stamps.com for this half of the show, if I haven't already. And MedMen, you go to MedMen.com. And Geico, Geico.com. Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance. Elvis's backup band, the Jordanaires. All right, let me tell you about Stamps.com. These days, you get everything on demand. Well, this is what we've just been discussing. Why not go with Stamps.com? You get postage on demand with Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, anytime, anywhere. And it's easy. Just use your computer and your printer. Then hand it off to your mail carrier, and that's it. Never go to the post office again. We use it here all the time. And right now, use the code Adam for up to $55 in free postage and a digital scale up to, I think, 80 pounds, 60 or 80 pounds. I know it's an even number, but whatever it is, much higher than you would need. You allergic to savings, Gina Graham?
Thank you.
Digital scale and up to 4 weeks worth of trial there. And you can try it all out at stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Enter Adam. Joe Coy is on the fly. He's got to pick up his young son.
Yes.
Joe Coy can be found all over the place. He's touring all over the place and knocking it out of the ballpark with a Netflix special, which is just unbelievable. We're going to be at the Moore Theater coming up next Thursday on September 13th, doing a live podcast there. And Joe Coy did his live stand-up special there. It is unbelievable. And Mazel Tov. Could not happen to a better guy. You guys should go to Joe Coy to find out tour dates all over the place.
Can you spell it? Because everyone thinks my name is Joy Coy.
Joy Coy.
Thanks.
I wonder why.
J-O-K-O-Y. And check that out on the podcast. The Coy Pond as well. Podcast One and Apple Podcast. Quickie break, and then back with the news and Gina Grad right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
All right, Gina, let's do it.
All right, well, I'm sure by now you've all heard the Colin Kaepernick news, and I'm sure Mark Garagos and you will further be discussing it soon. TMZ says one of the largest police organizations in the nation is blasting Nike for the new Kaepernick ad campaign, saying Nike's definition of sacrifice is a slap in the face to those who risk their lives to protect the country. The brand has been receiving both praise and criticism for the new Just Do It ad. It's a black and white picture, a very close-up shot of Kaepernick with the words, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. TMZ Sports has obtained a statement from the National Association of Police Organizations that has over 240,000 officers involved, and they're calling on a boycott from the families, the police, their families, their friends, to all boycott Nike products.
There's so much boycotting going on now that
what's left to buy?
There's no time to boycott. Or can you sign? I guess I could boycott like Last week, there was a Fatburger boycott called, and then there's a Nike boycott called. Now, so what I could do is probably do that simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah, knock two birds with one stone.
I could not wear Nikes and not eat a Fatburger simultaneously.
In and Out, right?
In and Out.
Oh, sorry, In and Out. I was on my Fatburger from earlier.
While you're at it, Fatburger.
Well, no, I will eat a Fatburger to substitute. Yeah. Then I was thinking of taking, or I could combine the two where I could take the Nikes. A lot of people are like videotaping them, burning the Nikes.
Yeah.
I could set the Nikes on fire while wearing them, but then do the ALS ice water bucket challenge
and
douse them.
Yeah, that's good.
And to take two, like a positive one, and then take a negative one.
Viral, I thought you were going to say grill your own burgers over the open flame of the Nike fire.
It's also good.
You know,
there could be some chemicals given off by the burning shoe and the burning rubber.
Smell
burning
like mesquite.
Okay, I think, okay.
There's things that are given off.
I don't know if it's still NSNG if you do that.
I get it. I wonder what that deal was.
I bet you could find out.
I could find out.
Yeah.
I'll try to find out.
That would be good. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are taking pictures and videos of them cutting the swoosh off their socks. Like, you already bought it. They already have your money. So what's the point?
Yeah, don't desecrate after they've hammered the check.
Yeah, who cares? Nike doesn't care.
That's a healthy bit of narcissism. Like, if I'm not wearing their swoosh, people won't see it and thus want the socks.
Yes.
I'm a walking advertisement.
Yeah.
Well, they film themselves doing it and then they put it up online. Yes. So it's all just reward
self-aggrandizing.
Thing. Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, one-time Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens is speaking out after being job shamed over the weekend for working at Trader Joe's, and an unlikely group of actors came together to support him. I'll tell you who in a second.
I've done some job shaming in my past.
Well, then you might have an opinion on this. Owens was recognized.
On the recreation.
You heard about this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was recognized at the register over at Trader Joe's in New Jersey. Someone took a picture of him. It was picked up by the Daily Mail, and then Fox tweeted it out. Owens appeared on Good Morning America Tuesday and admitted he did not react well at first, but then received an outpouring of support real quick.
I do love that.
Here's a clip.
I do love where we're at now, which is like we're essentially the guy at the park who's got the stick with the nail on it, and we're in charge of picking up litter, so we just finish a hot dog, and we ball up the thing, and we throw it on the ground in front of us, and I go, who's going to clean that up? And then I go, I am! And then you stab it, and then you put it in a thing, and then you do it again. Like, we're just creating our own stories. Like, first he gets shamed, now he gets built up.
Now he's a hero.
First thing, the most interesting, the story that they're glossing over is the first black man to ever be employed by Trader Joe's. I mean, come on.
That's a landmark.
This guy's the Jackie Robinson of Trader Joe's employees. I've been to Trader Joe's from Toluca Lake to Encino to South Pasadena. I've seen many a red-haired gen don the Hawaiian shirt, but I have never seen a man of color. And he's to be commended
for
breaking down that color barrier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a quick clip of him explaining sort of what happened. Go ahead.
It's called Showbiz, and I had to get a job. All right, let's see.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Acting, directing for 30 plus years, but you know, got to a point where, you know, it just didn't add up enough. You know,
he's proud now. Right. So anyway, you got to do what you got to do. Now, a lot of actors, a lot of people in the industry, you know, show their support. Pamela Adlon, friend of the show, who you know very well, said, I've been an actor, a working actor for years. Job stop. They do.
No.
I worked in retail, at a flower shop. I passed out flyers. It's about the work. Work gives you pride and purpose. Your visibility as an actor never goes away, but the money sure does. Terry Crews says, I swept floors after the NFL. If need be, I'd do it again. Good, honest work. Nothing to be ashamed of. And maybe your son would like to read this tweet. James Woods coming to Jeffrey Owens' defense, saying he's making more money than any other Cosby these days. Good for him. Now maybe some casting director will take note of a fine man who swallows his pride and is willing to work.
Mm.
There you go.
This is, again, it's this thing where we're doing this all the time now, where there's like three sides. First, there's a kid who was bullied. And then his mom shoots a video with it on her phone and then puts that on the internet. Then
the groundswell.
Then the outpouring of support. Then there's the crowdfunding that goes on to get him Taekwondo lessons. Then they get 400 grand. Then we find out that the parents bought a Cadillac with the money, and for the rest they went to Maui for 7 weeks. Then we get outraged at them. It's a sort of a never ending
our tail.
cycle of tail eating. I am sure that many a person in an 80s and 90s sitcom is not gainfully employed today. As a matter of fact, the lion's share
of
these people. Somebody sent me a tweet of late 80s, early 90s, new season campaign from ABC or CBS or one of the ones that Joe Coy's stepdad mentioned. And they did to the tune of Dancing in the Streets. Okay. And it was 3 minutes of everybody from every show. Uh-huh. This is circa 1990. They ended up having a cavalcade of all their network's biggest stars. It's 3 minutes long. Roseanne, you recognize, and her husband, Goodman, you recognize. John Stamos, you recognize.
I gotta see this.
But out of the 150 people, you do not recognize the rest of them. No. Oh, sorry. Bob Saget, recognize.
Let's do the count.
You don't recognize many of these people because they're no longer gainfully employed in this business.
No. Okay. Let's see how many we can go.
There's what's his name.
Is that Michael Bay?
No, it's what's his name from, I don't know.
This is class cast. This is done like Band-Aid, we Are the World.
It's the 80s things ever. I don't know. Kirk
Watching
Cameron.
ABC.
They're all from Head of the Class. I don't know who she is.
It's like every principal and every neighbor and every wacky son and...
There's Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke.
And Judith Light.
Judith Light.
Well, we've seen 50 faces so far.
Yeah.
Right. And these were all stars of the network.
Oh, yeah. Up-and-comers.
They're not working anymore.
No idea.
So.
This is awesome, but I don't know who any of these people are.
We get it. So.
Scooby-Doo.
He's working. Yeah. So that's how the business works, everybody.
You know, I often wonder, after going to 2 drive-in movies this year and having been to a Comic-Con and, you know, these cons are everywhere, the people that now just make their money sitting in a booth for $5, you can have my autograph, for $10, we'll take a picture. Mm-hmm. What do you think that pays for a lot of these people?
Kalen?
His dad does it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can make real money. You sit there all day,
that's
and people
dad's job.
They're lining up around the block to meet you, and they're paying for it.
It's good. The crazy thing is, obviously, Pete Rose would do this in the past, baseball players and stuff like that. The thing that always stuck out in my head about that is it would be like $10 per autograph, $15 for round items.
Yeah.
What?
Baseball bats, your fat wife, signing titties. You know what I mean? Like, they bump you. Well, think about the conveyor belt of headshots and signs, and then you hand them a bat. Right. That's going to take twice as long.
Okay.
You know, got to tack it on.
Smart, shrewd.
I'm sure they didn't
to do that.
They probably didn't work that out the first show, but after the first show, Pete said, anyone with a bat or baseball, or worse yet, a ping pong ball. I don't know who's playing bingo with my name.
Oversized beach ball.
Right. Anything round, tack on another.
Japanese lantern.
Another 50%.
Tom Likas should have gotten in on that.
you mentioned the phrase, this is how this business works. I don't think a lot of people know this because it's not... I rarely hear it discussed, but we all know this, that people who work in especially TV and movies, TV, let's say TV especially, because it's seasonal, right? You're on for 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, and you're off for a long period of time. people and successful people, people who make money, will regularly file for unemployment. Yeah, of course. I don't think most people know that. And it's a little distasteful. I think we've all gotten used to it because it's just how the business is. But that's why I responded to this story first. I was like, here's a guy who's between projects, let's say. He's not working and he's not doing the thing that everyone does in this town, which is file for unemployment. Mm-hmm. But he's there. I need a gig. I need a job. I need income. I need benefits. I need whatever. I found it to be very honorable.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, well, we've also lowered the bar on honorable to the point where just being an adult and working is like honorable.
Not doing what everyone else would do in his spot.
And I agree with you. Look, there's a lot of guys, especially below the line guys, a lot of guys who make money as scenic decorators and editors and stuff that make good money and just go in and out of unemployment all the time. But I don't know that he was in between projects and could have filed for that. I don't want to take away from his accomplishment like you did with Zeus, saying he was a rapist halfway into my eulogy.
Hey, man, I was just wondering.
But, yeah.
I just found it to be more symbolically,
listen, not what he's working, and that's a good thing. And
Trader Joe's is cashing in on this. He wore his badge on Good Morning America and talking about, I wasn't trying to keep this from people. It just wasn't public. Mm. Now it is.
Mm-hmm. Will you tell Kaepernick I back the badge? Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's badge.
And his IMDb still has small roles from 2018, 2017.
All right. Well, he's working then.
Okay, he's got great stuff in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What?
Had some good roles in that. He played.
What season? I don't remember that.
He played Tiger Woods, well, fake Tiger Woods.
I don't remember.
And also,
that's
the quarterback for the Eagles. I can't remember his name right now.
McNabb. Yeah.
McNabb.
Yep, you're right.
Find out what Boner from Family Ties is up there.
Boner Stabone?
See if he's working over at the Whole Foods.
Well, you know who else is working?
Family Ties had a neighbor named Boner.
Yeah, Boner Stabone.
Boner Stabone.
Boner was found dead in Canada.
Answer the question.
Is he working at Whole Foods or not? Is he at Irwan or Whole Foods? Just answer the goddamn question.
Receiving a night delivery.
He's at Lassen's.
Stocking the shelves.
He's the guy who just sort of wandered off and died somewhere.
A display of cans fell on him.
He'll be missed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know who doesn't need unemployment?
Mm.
DJ Khaled. You want to know why? What he's up to? XXL magazine reports that in a career that stretches back more than 25 years, Khaled he's worn all kinds of hats. Producer, record label exec, the guy that screams his name over other people's songs. But now he's going into the world of furniture. DJ Khaled, very recently,
invented the first stage recliner. It can only be used on stage, but he's saying, like, how could I do less in front of an audience? DJ, we did see at the Grammys, and you didn't do anything. Yeah. You just yelled your name. Yeah, but
I
started
a squat.
I did break a sweat standing. Standing there yelling, I'm the best.
You didn't stand there and wave your arms. That's too much.
What if we love me up and I do it in a reclined position and you guys roll me out there?
Like a gurney.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be his company, We The Best Home Luxury Furniture, a new venture with designer collective Goldition. The new line officially launched at Miami's El Dorado Furniture last week. The DJ goes on to say he's heavily involved with the creative end of this new furniture line, saying the buyers will get a piece of Khaled in
major
every
key
item.
Alert.
Yeah. Look at that. A lot of gold.
Oh, a lot of gold.
A lot of gold leaf.
Yeah. That is
a Cosby sweater.
Garish.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the word for it.
I told everyone how Trump got elected. He just went like, hey, we're going to be number one. And everyone went,
I'd like to be number one.
That's what he's doing exactly to everybody else. Exactly he's doing exactly what Trump does to everybody in politics. He's doing it in music and furnishings. Like, we the best. Like, huh?
Okay.
He said so.
He said we're the best. He's the best. Everyone's the best.
It's on a song, so it must be true.
We're just going right along. Yeah. Just Pied Pipering right along. Weird. No one ever stops and goes, what do you mean, we the best? Yeah. What does that even mean? I'm just hammering your checks and going back to my house.
Yeah.
You go back to your crappy little apartment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
He's the best.
Yeah, he's the best. Speaking of the best, Monica Lewinsky, she got real angry, walked off stage during an interview in Israel this week when the interviewer asked a question about Bill Clinton. The former White House intern said the interviewer... Well, yeah.
Well, it's
I have a clip for you.
There's a problem. There's an inherent problem. The inherent problem is you are told in advance, like you get a writer for the green room, you will be, there'll be no Bill Clinton talk. You will not do it. Which is fine, but if you're the person who's interviewing her and you're in front of a large audience, you're dropping your fiduciary duty ball.
Right.
If you don't ask anything about Bill Clinton.
I don't mean to be crass, but it's the only reason we know her name. I'm sure she's a wonderful person, but it's the only reason she's on stage.
She wants to focus on the handbags. This was here for bullying, but we wouldn't know who she was if she didn't feel like she was the most bullied person in America.
Right.
You kind of have to play ball when you're doing these interviews. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, the playing, yes. What you have to do is, if you don't bring it up, it seems too obvious, too weird, and it bumps people not bringing it up.
Do you think that it's possible that she has some sort of gag order? No pun intended.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's from the Clinton people saying, whatever deal we worked out, you are not to speak publicly about this anymore?
I'd like to think so. Although,
I don't know if they have
money and gag orders aren't what they used to be. Yeah. I mean, just judging from the news.
Cats out of the bag. Cats out of the gag.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
So I feel like you can just talk about anything. It's like the funny thing about the hush money and the gag order is not only am I going to talk about you fucking me, I'm going to talk about the $100,000 you gave me to not talk about you fucking me. Like, this is going to be, it's going to get worse.
You're right. That's true.
It's compounded bad. Like, what talk about, not only do you waste $125,000 or $130,000 on the actual gag order, it just got twice as bad because of that part was mixed into the not doing the gag order, which is weird. Let it go.
So she's up there as an anti-bullying activist, and this question comes up, and this is how Monica responds.
Former President Clinton was rather irate when he was asked if he ever apologized to you personally. And he said, I apologize publicly. Do you still expect that apology, the personal apology?
I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to do this.
She puts her mic down.
Thank you for talking.
She walks
in. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Wiz Khalifa's in the house. Let's go.
That was a totally reasonable question, by the way. I was expecting something way worse.
Interesting, because you know what I was thinking? That question, as you say, you know, this is your responsibility as a reporter to bring this up. That's not the question to hang your hat on.
No, but I'm saying it wasn't revisiting old, like, tell us again. Like, she probably heard 1,000 times. This is semi-new-ish. You know, it's been the last few months.
So. And this is Clinton in the news, and it's been brought up. And
it was reasonable to me.
That was very reasonable.
She said, I left because it is more important than ever for women to stand up for themselves and not allow others to control their narrative. But basically,
that's what you did.
But she said, I'll only come on this if we don't talk about this. And they did, and she left.
This weird control their narrative and stand up for themselves. It's all like, let's not turn everything into being a hero. It's like you dodged this thing and you walked off and you kind of screwed the audience, basically, who probably wanted an answer to that question.
I think
question.
She screwed herself, too, because in terms of controlling the narrative, that was an opportunity to take a stand and say, I don't expect an apology. I don't need one. I'm my own person. I've moved on. Whatever. I mean, she had so many opportunities right there. But
screwing yourself.
Now it's a...
Guess you just got scratched from Coachella.
Who?
Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's repercussions, man.
That's right.
Do you remember her one-woman show that was on HBO in, 2001? She did basically a talk or a one-woman show about, like, I remember it was like a theater in the round, and she told the story of what happened, and it went and talked about the whole thing. Do you remember that? It was black and white.
I don't know. I thought of my new Crank Yankers-esque show.
Okay.
We ask celebrities to do things that aren't going to happen, but it lets them know where they're at. You know what I mean?
What they can get away with and what they
like,
can't.
There's a thing as a celebrity when they go, do you want to do Dancing with the Stars? You're like, who I am?
Yeah,
is that where I'm at? Or is that good? Or is that bad? Or sort of think about that. Like, we call Monica Lewinsky and we go, look, real money here.
Yeah.
Do you want to box OJ? We're doing it. They're bringing back celebrity boxing.
We'll call it status check.
Now, he's got arthritis. I mean, he's a strong guy, but he has arthritis in both shoulders, and he's given away.
He walks with a considerable limp.
He's given away 30 years to you, sweetheart.
It sounds dangerous, to be honest.
I'm just saying, where you have to actually stop and go, did someone thought of me? Is this where I'm at career wise?
Compliment, insult.
Yeah, because that can go high or low. It can be like, oh, wow, OJ, wow, I've amazing. Made it. Or like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm guessing it doesn't go high in that case. But
well, if they ask me.
Oh, they ask you. Yeah,
I'm like, wow, no, we always have OJ.
They have to be celebrities. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I thought that was a well-phrased question by the interviewer.
You need to.
And
something.
She needed to stay there. And, but look, let's not spin everything into corolling your own destiny and standing up for yourself and all this kind of stuff. And also, as adults, like, when did all this standing up for yourself, like, come into vogue? Like, I never heard parents or adults talk about standing up for it. We told kids to stand up for themselves. Yeah, if an 11-year-old was being bullied, you're like, well, suck a buddy hitting in the eye and show him or the boss and stand up for yourself. But we didn't have like 47-year-old males going, it's time that I stood up for myself. Like, what?
You know what?
It's weird.
Kids, we tell kids to stand up for themselves. Adults have to take a stand.
Oh.
I'm taking a stand.
This is all weird. It's pre-adolescent behavior that is now blowing through everyone's 40s and 50s.
Sure.
These weird announcements and proclamations. All right, get your next story ready. I'll tell you about MedMen in between. Today's cannabis consumers. Stand up for yourself and head over to MedMen. How about that? Let's drop the labels. Teachers, executives, parents. At MedMen, you are a consumer. There's something for everyone. Whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar with things like lotions and edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more, touchscreens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that is incredibly knowledgeable, they'll put you at ease. Let's head over to MedMen. You can check out one of their 14 retail locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or just hop online. You go to MedMen.com. You find the store nearest you and figure out what you'd like to do. A little help sleeping, a little help relaxing, a little better time at the concert. MedMen.com. Am I right, Dawson?
Visit MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
All right, what else we got, Gina Gray?
Well, speaking of Israel, when her TV family returns to the airwaves this fall, Roseanne Barr will be out of the country. She was talking to Rabbi Shmuley Botak over on his podcast, and she said she'll be in the Middle East for the October premiere of The Conners. She's going to be studying with some of her favorite teachers. She also said her friends told her she made a fatal mistake by apologizing to liberals and apologizing to Valerie Jarrett, whom she compared to an ape on Twitter. Roseanne, whose show was canceled following the incident, said, once you apologize to them, they never forgive. They just try to beat you down until you don't exist. That's how they do things. They don't accept apologies. The Conner is going to premiere on ABC on the 16th, and Roseanne will be in Israel studying.
She is going insane. And thank God for social media, because in the past, when people came unhinged, they just went away somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't able to hear their insanity.
Yeah.
Now, we can't.
It's all over the place.
Broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for all of us.
Shmuley Botak. Remember Shmuley?
No.
Rabbi Shmuley?
Have you interviewed him?
Yeah, Rabbi Shmuley did Loveline a million years ago. And Giovanni probably find that one somewhere. I remember Rabbi Shmuley. Well, it's
episode 151.
It's funny because
he's... August 1996.
Yeah, because he's a rabbi. Well, the thing about the Jews is... As I've always noted, when you see a wedding where they go, well, he's Jewish and she's Catholic, so we got a priest and we got a rabbi and blah, blah, blah. The priest does like a tight 4.5 minutes, and the rabbi, like, you look down and your watch, like 28 minutes in, and he's still telling jokes.
He's
he hasn't even
up,
got to the couple yet.
That doesn't sound like us.
They're kind of comedian star fuckers first, and then men of the cloth second. Whereas
devoted to both.
I've said it one time. No. I've said it 1,000 times, but I'll say it again. To the best of my knowledge, there's pretty much just like one Jew in porn. Like, nobody talks less than male porn stars.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has less to say.
You get on a Southwest flight and Randy West sits next to you. He doesn't fucking chew your ear off for all the way to Phoenix. You know what I mean?
However.
Ron Jeremy. There's one Jew in porn. There's a fucking auctioneer.
Yeah.
They're verbose people.
We do run our mouths.
That's all.
Yeah.
So he's for us, the goyim, if you're religious, you do little to no. I mean, you'll take a vow of silence. Yeah. Like, there's almost no talking going on.
There's no crowd work.
Nobody. Yeah. There's no jokes. There's no crowd work. Oh no, the Jews are kind of comedians first, and then so Shmuley is like, he was Michael Jackson's guy and stuff, right?
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Rabbi to the stars.
All right, that was him. Sorry, where were we? Loveline in 2000 and in 2001.
Wow. So, repeat guest.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Taylor Hanson, one of your favorite bands of all time, and I do not blame you. A member of Hanson, of course, the super cute one. Mm. He's expecting, and he and his wife are expecting a baby. Guess what number baby they're on?
Oh, they're Mormons, so that's got to be double digits.
And they're, don't get crazy. They're a young couple still.
28.
I remember they had a few when they were in here.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Well, he's 35. They've been married for 16 years.
Oh, they got to be on number 8.
Close. They're on number 6. Mm-hmm. They announced that the 6th baby will be coming in December. The oldest is 15-year-old Jordan Ezra. They're also parents to 13-year-old Penelope, 11-year-old River, 9-year-old Vigo, and 5-year-old Wilhelmina, and they have a dog. They met when
Vigo's a sweet name.
They met when they were 15. They got married when they were 19. And there's lots of Hanson kids because drummer Zach has 4.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Isaac has 2. So it's a big brood.
I think I've got a band, like another spinoff band going, right?
Hanson 2.
Yeah, right?
2.0, yeah. Like the Partridge Family. They can go on a bus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were supposed to be related. Or the Von Trapps.
Yeah, the Partridges were related. Even the Brady kids had an album and everything. It was back when everyone just had to have an album.
When they called themselves the Silver Platters.
That's right. They had to make money for the anniversary at the talent show.
To buy the silver platter for the anniversary.
Remember that time?
I was a big fan.
Your parents' anniversary came and went with no platter? Remember how irate your dad was and how devastated your mom was?
They didn't talk to you for a week.
Yeah.
We still talk about it in hushed tones so as not to drudge up memories.
Right.
My mom was like, what am I going to either serve tea on or hoist above my head at Wimbledon? And now what?
Now
you've
now
brought shame to the family.
That's right. They didn't have enough money to buy it themselves, so they did the talent show.
Now, I believe the screenshot we're looking at is when they're singing Keep On Dancing.
Keep on dancing all through the night. Again, writing for the Bradys in the 70s. Greatest gig in the world.
We
did an 8th episode this year. It's Carol and Mike anniversary, and the kids want to get them something engraved.
Okay.
But how would they pay for it?
What gets broken?
Yeah. Oh, did we do the vase thing already?
We did, yeah.
Did
we do the vase?
Carol has a second favorite vase, or...
We'd have to write it in.
I don't know. Tiger goes missing. I don't know.
Find cigarettes in Greg's pocket.
Wait a minute. Bobby Sherman, has he been on this season?
Twice, actually. This week's episode.
Oh. We got to get Joe Namath back or Don Dry.
He's on Davey next Jones. Week's episode.
Davy Jones. He wants to take Bobby Sherman to the prom, or do we do that with...
Charo's available.
Oh. A talent contest. Have we done that one?
No. Okay. We are ripe for a talent contest.
All right. Mm. And the mount. Okay. They're going to get a platter engraved.
Okay.
But they don't have the $200. But
there's the conflict.
But
it just so happens.
First place at the talent competition after Texas is $200.
Yeah. Exactly right. What they need.
Episode number 10.
It writes itself.
Do we have any award-winning musicians?
Hold on. I just am struck with a bolt of creative lightning. Peter's voice changes.
Mid-episode?
That's right. He's got to sing.
Okay, yeah.
But he's turning into a man.
That's right.
All right.
And it hinders their ability to compete for the
championship. Marsha gets hit in the cunt with a soccer ball. Is that...
Just talk to standards and practices.
Controversial.
Yeah, the cunt part, they might have a problem
with. Oh, okay, in the nose.
Okay.
The cunt gets hit in the nose with a soccer ball.
Again, we're back to the original problem, which is the nomenclature.
Okay, listen.
Well, we don't color that on
first just, off, yeah. You want to give me a hard time, I'm going across the street and writing for Far Out Space Nuts. You understand me? I'm saving a little dignity.
You drive a hard bargain.
Okay.
What's it going to take to keep you around?
This is more free food. All right, so we want to bang out all the episode ideas for season 15.
I got 15 minutes.
Alice's twin comes into town, and she's like a drill sergeant.
Oh, mm-hmm. A mistaken identity.
Yeah. It's played by the same Jesus Christ. Yeah, the same actress who's... we don't have to get a new actress.
Oh, no. Far from it.
Anne C. Davis, as I call her, because she's so hard to work with. She just... Look, we get her some Wayfair sunglasses or something. She just becomes
flat jacket.
Yeah. So one goes to vacation. Right. She comes back. All right. Episode number two. They want to go camping. And Greg thinks he's too cool now. He doesn't want to go. All right. Number three. Jan gets a wig. There you go. Jan. Yeah. I'll write that down.
Okay.
So we did Marsha, right?
Boss needs to come over for work.
Boss is coming over for dinner. It's a big deal. Client's in town.
The youngest one is failing school is another.
Not failing. We don't do failing around here. Failing.
Okay. These kids are winners.
We do C-minus and everyone's disappointed. Just C-minus. Write down Brady meeting. Yeah. All right?
Family meeting.
Somebody's allergic to tiger. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
And then the arc is someone sneezing, then we're going to do about Tiger, mm-hmm. and I think we have to get rid of Tiger, then it's going to turn out to be a laundry detergent.
Buddy,
okay?
I'm riding as fast as I can over here.
That's a two-parter.
Okay, obviously.
Speaking of two-parter, we have a surplus of money. Can we go to Hawaii?
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
I've been working real hard.
You want to really shake it up? Yeah. Where are they filming that movie, Midnight Express?
Oh, that was Turkey, I believe.
Well, let's go to Turkey.
Okay, sweet. It's pretty dangerous.
Let's do a three-parter.
Does one of the kids not come back? Because that would be quite a twist.
And C doesn't come back. Okay. That's how much I dislike that lesbian. Where was I? All right.
The platters.
Yeah. Brady.
When it's change.
It's time to rearrange
who you are and what you gonna be. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- seen
Bobby
all
Brady
of them.
Once said, "Brian, it's time to change.
Yeah.
It's time to rearrange."
Yeah.
A lot of rethinking.
And then Marsha comes in. Yeah. Every boy's a man inside. A girl's a woman, too. You got to take a lesson from Mother Nature. Here's what you got to do when it's
that
time
would be
to
hate
change.
Speech
Is that like a period
today.
Song?
Kind of. It's a puberty song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do people, explain, you two, how, for everyone in the world, how do people have nostalgia for things they know is, oh, hold on a second.
How dare you? Careful.
Mm-hmm. Shit. I just.
Yeah.
Shot myself in the foot.
Right. And it's horrible. It's a horrible show. Yeah. It doesn't hold up at all.
And yet you're nostalgic for it.
No,
well,
it's horrible.
Song.
I can't rid my brain of that song.
Okay.
Gina made me do it.
Sorry.
I didn't want to do it.
Make
she
that
made
t-shirt.
Me do it. Yeah. Gina made me do it. Let me tell you about Geico. Oh, everyone's got the to-do list. Start a band called the
Silver Platters.
Silver Platters, that's right. I was going to say the Platters. I'm like, they sung Under the Boardwalk. All right. How about, I'd save hundreds of dollars in car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere, drop anything off, or do anything. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, one more, Gina.
All right. Well, CNN has pulled episodes of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown that feature Ossia Argento. We talked about that a little bit with AJ Benza. The Italian actress who was dating the celebrity chef at the time of his suicide in June, she appears in two episodes of the show. And a spokesperson for the network tells Fox News, quote, "In light of the recent news reports about Ossia, CNN will discontinue airing past episodes of Parts Unknown that include her until further notice." And just to refresh your memory,
let me say this, whether it's, tearing down a statue or getting Arcia out of the episode. These things happen. These people exist.
Part of the story.
It's just kind of part of it. It's kind of weird. Like, it's sort of like once a producer said to me when I was doing Loveline on MTV, it's like, don't mention Hitler. And I was like, why not? Like, as a reference to something evil. And they're like, don't do it. And I'm like, no. Like, I don't know this thing of like, these things don't exist anymore.
Right.
They exist. Right. They happen. They still exist. Mm-hmm. We can pass judgment on them.
Yeah. This notion of like a bad thing.
Carve them out and make them not exist anymore.
It never happened.
It's kind of weird.
It's weird.
It's a weird impulse.
That's our new knee-jerk of how to get rid of something and how to get rid of a person.
So we just go to the edit bay of history and get rid of everything we don't like, everything we disagree with, every founding father that engaged in a behavior activity that we don't like, they're now gone.
Yep. They don't exist.
People are complicated.
That's a pretty high bar to set for society
and
in any culture. I do not... You can pick the culture you like... Japan or Germany or somewhere in Europe and all the greats. And there's some chapters in there that would not be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
All right, so she directed one of the episodes. I doubt that one will air. And she was also recently fired as a judge for X Factor Italy this season. And I think it's kind of ironic that I think you guys will agree that the only reason we know her name is because we're being told she's kicked off of shows.
Mm. Yes. All right. I mean,
if you notice, she's the son of daughter of Dario Argento. But
okay, Brian, we get it.
Is he a director?
Producer, famous Bennett producer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Born idiot.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
I always thought, didn't everyone call her Asia?
Yeah, now it's Asia.
Asia. AJ Benza kind of did that to us,
when
right?
you read it, it's A-S-I-A, like we say Asia, but that's not how she says it.
Well, she's Italian.
Yeah.
All right. Give her a pass.
There you go.
But not for everything. Castrol Edge, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Oh, man, you don't want that in your engine. Maximum engine performance, that's what you want. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times, fool! Stronger, fool, against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic oils. Castrol Edge. You can unlock the performance in your car's engine with Castrol Edge. All right. You go to AdamCarolla.com and you find out where we're going to be live everywhere, because there's shows coming up all over the place. Phoenix and Anaheim and the aforementioned Seattle. Go to Chassis and check out Chassis on Pluto TV. Lots of good shows there. And pre-order Uppity and all that kind of stuff. Two S's and a Y for Chassis. And RJ Bell and Joe Coy and Gina Grad and Ball Bryan and Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Chief asshole.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail if you want at 888-634-1744. For live shows and everything we're doing, just go to the website. AdamCarolla.com.